All right, here we go. Welcome back into the Rocky Top Insider Preview Podcast. Week 10 is on the horizon. Heck, it's just one day away. Tennessee and Kentucky coming up on Saturday night in Lexington. My name is Rick Butler, joined as always, Ryan Shumpert in the building. Ryan, good morning, my friend. How are you doing?
Doing well. It feels like it's been a long time since we've been on here talking about some Tennessee football, but certainly probably the biggest matchup, not even probably the biggest matchup left in Tennessee's regular season, and a chance for Josh Heupel to get a huge win, his first over a top 25 team. And if he does that, I think Tennessee will be sitting in a good spot to get 7-5, and that would give man, there's been so many coaches Tennessee's had the last since Phil Fulmer, but it would give Josh Heupel the opportunity to, at the very worst, tie Lane Kiffin for the best record of any Tennessee coach in their first season. So that would be a pretty strong start for Josh Heupel there. It's a big one Saturday night. Excited to break it down.
Yeah, great point, man. There are so many things to get into with this game. It's going to be the 117th meeting between these two teams. There's been quite a few of them, but like you said, man, none of them more important than the one coming up on Saturday night. And really, when you look at Tennessee's season, their final four games of the season, this is the biggest one, but almost by de facto, right? Yeah. You have Georgia coming up after that. And we know that, hey, basically any team that gets in front of the Georgia train right now gets run over. We know that that game is going to be an extreme challenge for Tennessee. But then after that, you get two easy games in South Alabama for homecoming, and you get Vanderbilt at home to close out the regular season. So really, when you look at these final four, this is the only one that is up in the air to a good extent. Would you say the same?
Completely agree. And that's kind of what I was getting at, I guess, when I called it the most important game left on the schedule. And I think it would be a major surprise if Tennessee didn't win the South Alabama or Vanderbilt game, or if Tennessee won the Georgia game. So I'm with you, and you really kind of go back and look at Tennessee's schedule in hindsight. And at the time, we thought that Missouri game was going to be really evenly matched. Missouri obviously hasn't been as good as we thought. Tennessee is better than South Carolina, worse than better than the Bowling Greens, Tennessee Techs of the world, worse than, well, probably pretty similar to Florida, but as we were kind of joking when we got on here, Tennessee finding a way to beat Florida doesn't ever seem
easy.
Likely. Easy, yeah. So when you kind of go back and look at the schedule, the Pitt game, the Ole Miss game, and the Kentucky game are kind of the three games where you think those three teams are pretty even with Tennessee. And I think it's fair to say Ole Miss is better than Tennessee. Pitt's probably about the same as Tennessee. But obviously Tennessee lost those two games. So I think there's – I don't know if there's pressure is the right word, but kind of an emphasis on wanting to get one of these. And obviously it's a great chance for Heupel to get his first top 25 win at Tennessee.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Going to be a big weekend coming up in Lexington. All right, Ryan, so here's what the game plan looks like for today. Obviously, we have nothing to talk about from the last week game because that did not happen. So we get to kind of skip that. And what do you say instead, kind of towards the end of the podcast, we go over some of these bowl projections. I mean, four games left in the season. We have a little bit extra time today. Might as well go ahead and just give out some of our thoughts on maybe where Tennessee is trending in one of these bowls. But certainly before then, it has been an eventful week on campus in the facilities for Tennessee, getting everybody back. One of the big through lines, I think, through just so many different people talking, whether it is Coach Heupel, Alex Golesh, the offensive coordinator, Tim Banks, the defense coordinator, or just one of the number of players that have talked to the media so far this week, you can really get the feeling that it's not a cliche. Yes, it is expected, but really, truly, it was valuable. The fresh legs inside the building. Right? A lot of people talked about that again. Coaches said they saw it. Players said they feel it. Heck, running back Jabari Small said that he has felt the best he feels since the season began. So I think that's going to be a big thing coming up for Tennessee this week. But again, just one of the big through lines. Now, going back to that, though, a little bit of health and freshness and injury reports and things like that. Coach Heupel did actually give a little bit of an injury update towards the beginning of the week. And here was his exact quote. Then I'll go ahead and get your analysis on it. He said this, quote, "A big part of it was just getting our guys healthy. About the bye week. I think we made some progress in that way over the bye week. Looking forward to getting back on the field with these guys tomorrow." He did say, when it comes to injuries, he said this. He said, "I don't want to say anything concrete at this moment." Granted, Coach Heupel never really says anything concrete, especially on a Monday. Then he followed up with, I do think all of those guys are leaning towards having the opportunity to play. We gave most of those guys the bulk of the time off last week. Seeing those guys back in the building today, moving around a little bit, we'll figure out more when we get on the field Tuesday, Wednesday. But I think those guys will have an opportunity to play. He's talking about Tyon Evans, Cade Mays, Elijah Simmons, some of those kind of guys. Ryan, what's your analysis just kind of where Tennessee is injury-wise coming off of the bye week?
Yeah, I think they certainly have gotten a lot more healthy. And you look at what was needed from the bye week, and you look, the offense is kind of where they've had the more serious injuries. Evans has been out a lot this year, Small. Neither of those guys have really ever seemed to be at full health. I guess there was probably a stretch there kind of in the middle when Tyon was. And then obviously Hendon Hooker didn't miss a game, but pretty clearly wasn't at 100% against Alabama. And obviously Cooper Mays has been injured. He got back to Alabama game. Cade Mays, with that high ankle sprain, missed the Alabama game in the second most of the Ole Miss game. So I think the Cade Mays one is the really big news. I think you kind of expected those other guys to at least be available. How close to 100% are they is probably the bigger question. But Cade Mays, I still kind of thought was a big question mark. We don't even know for sure that he's going to play, like you said, just because Heupel emphasizes some positivity early in the week doesn't mean he's necessarily going to play. We saw him do that with Tyon Evans in the Ole Miss game where he showed some optimism and Tyon Evans warmed up and didn't end up giving it a go. So it's not a definite, but it does seem like those guys are getting closer to healthy. And then on the defensive side of the ball, it's just kind of the rested legs I think they really needed. They have had some minor injuries. Elijah Simmons is kind of the one exception you just talked about. He's been out the last couple weeks. Warren Burrell did miss the Alabama game. But as a whole, they haven't had a ton of guys have any serious injuries besides Juwan Mitchell. But when you're coming off 8 straight games playing, you don't have a whole lot of depth. They're playing the same 18 guys, you know, a lot of snaps. And then obviously the last 2 games before the bye weeks, you play 100 plays, over 100 plays against Ole Miss, and I think like 85 against Alabama. So they've been on the field a lot, the same guys. So I think just having that week off to get refreshed is going to be huge. And you kind of saw it from Tennessee's defensive players this week. They were careful, I think, to not try to be disrespectful, but they were pretty pleased they were playing Kentucky in an offense that's not trying to go at warp speed, and they're going to slow it down. They're going to run the ball a lot. There seemed to be some relief that Tennessee's players knew they weren't going to be out there, or Tennessee's defenders knew they weren't going to be out there for another 80 plays this week.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about those last 2 games, and you talk about Ole Miss and Alabama. Yes, of course, those are tremendous offenses, and they can score a lot. They can really move the ball. But fact of the matter is that they just run a lot of plays, right? And so those are talented, elite offenses who are on the field quite often. So, yeah, Tennessee is just, you know, through all those games, the gas tank was starting to run empty there a little bit. So definitely a big storyline getting back in the facilities this week. These guys have fresh legs. They are ready to go. Ryan, before we get into the game a little bit, I want to hit the other big news that happened right here in the week, and that was the investigation news that came out yesterday. Yesterday, VolQuest reported that Tennessee's side of the investigation is over, that they have completed their own internal investigation, and really the big headline story coming out of it is that Tennessee is not going to be imposing a bowl ban on themselves, right? I think the general consensus of the report was essentially that, hey, there are a lot of innocent people, whether it's players, coaches, staff members, that had nothing to do with some of those allegations and some of the findings that happened prior and just previously, especially towards the end of the 2020 season. And so with all the work that they put in this year, with everything that has gone into this season and everything being done the right way and in an open fashion as well, I think that's just certainly an area that Tennessee did not want to take away from the team, from the players, from the coaches, and from the fan base too, knowing that, hey, Tennessee's fans have really been getting behind this team as the season's gone on. What's just your kind of general take on the whole thing from yesterday?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right, especially on that last point of the fan base is kind of starting to get behind Heupel, getting behind the team, and that's happened kind of, think, over the course of the season. But going into the season, I mean, people were supporting Heupel, but there was a lot of apathy and I don't think a whole lot of optimism. That's changed, and I certainly think it would have been surprising, or I don't know, dumb would be the right word, but a little strange if Tennessee were to put a bowl ban on. And we were asked that question actually in our mailbag Wednesday. I think we kind of both said the same thing, that at this point, that'd be really surprising, especially just for the players. I mean, the players that to have them have worked all year, I don't know if there'd been any inner conversations about, you know, any plans about a bowl ban, but they're like, you know, like I said, as long as they don't lose to Vanderbilt or South Alabama, which we don't think they will, Tennessee's going to make a bowl game. And it would be, it would be really tough for those kids who stuck it out, who have clearly been very together, have gotten past a lot of the issues they had on last year's team when it came to camaraderie and not giving up and in the fight, and then just telling me, well, you worked hard, y'all made it to a bowl game, which was kind of at least a bar for what could be a successful season for Tennessee this year, getting to 6-6, potentially 7-5, and then saying, well, you did all that, we're going to take it away, you're not going to get that experience. That would have been a tough blow for the kids. And, you know, it's whether the NCAA is going to follow through with that, oh, these guys weren't, you know, the people here weren't the ones that had the made the mistake, so we're not going to punish them. I don't think that's the case, but from Tennessee's standpoint, I certainly think that was the right move not to do that. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, NCAA certainly doesn't move quick with anything, so I don't expect anything to happen, come from them anytime soon. I think that VolQuest report even said that they haven't even given Tennessee any sort of notice of allegations yet, which is maybe not a starting step, but, you know, that's not the notice of allegations isn't the end of things either. So it'll be interesting to see. And it's kind of funny with the Oklahoma State thing this week, Oklahoma State basketball, the news coming out there. Their postseason ban that they appealed last year is going to be held intact. And Mike Boynton, I believe, is Oklahoma State's head coach, with some pretty powerful words, basically saying, if you have been cheating, if you've made mistakes, do not tell the NCAA, do not bring them along with you in the process. Just hide it from them and fight them on it, because that's the best way to go. That's kind of the opposite game plan that Tennessee has done. And I've said from the beginning, I'm not sure that bringing the NCAA's hand in hand, step by step, was a very smart decision. And I think the situation in Oklahoma State kind of reflects that. But time will tell. The NCAA, their power wanes with every single passing day. Like we said, they don't really do anything quickly. I mean, I think this Oklahoma State stuff was from like 3 or 4 years ago. So who knows what will end up happening. There's just so many moving parts with the way the college athletics landscape is changing, but it's certainly going to be really interesting to watch. And I wasn't surprised by Tennessee's announcement this week.
Yeah, it really is a wild situation what happened there. And I agree, man. If you have not seen that video of the Cowboys coach, go watch it, because he was in tears. I mean, in this press conference, you could tell that it meant a lot to him, and you can tell that, hey, it really was something that, you know, like you had said, these NCAA investigations, no matter the sport, it can be basketball, it can be football, it's just been a muddy venture. You know, it's interesting to see what's going to happen with Tennessee. But final point on that, again, the headline here is that Tennessee is not going to impose its own bowl ban. However, you know, of course, there were still things found in the reports, and there still do need to be penalties and consequences. And so they have basically established their own minor violations and their own minor penalties and just sanctions that they are imposing on themselves. But again, the big headline is that the bowl ban will not be one of those imposed sanctions. So big news coming out yesterday, again, on Thursday, about Tennessee's future. Still got to win 2 games, though, to get to that bowl game. And that first opportunity is going to be on Saturday night against number 18, Kentucky. Ryan, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a quick break right here. Come back on the other side. And then, man, we will get into this game. Is this going to be it? Is it? Can Tennessee get their first ranked win of the season? Hey, when you look at the odds, when you look at the matchup predictors, most say yes. We'll get into it on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
All right, here we go. Back here on the Rocky Top Insider Preview Podcast, coming up for Tennessee and Kentucky in Lexington, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on Saturday night. Now, let's run through a little bit of the basics of the game before we get into the actual analysis. Tennessee, a 1-point favorite. Now, I've also seen them as a half a point underdog, as a 1-point underdog. I think there's a couple of different lines bouncing around right now. Going to be very interesting to see where that line ends up tomorrow afternoon or so on Saturday afternoon. But as things stand right now, it's pretty close on that front. ESPN's Football Power Index has Tennessee with a 51.2% chance to win this game. So again, even when you combine those things with the fact that, hey, Kentucky's got this game at home, which typically counts for a few either percentage points or spread points one way or another, it seems like a lot of people really feel confident in a Tennessee victory. Now, Ryan, I don't know how much that has to do with the way that their season has gone so far. You look at what Kentucky has done at the beginning of the season and what they've done lately. This is a team that began the season 6-0. I mean, with some quality wins as well. We saw them take down number 10 ranked Florida. That was their biggest win in that stretch. However, things have trailed off in the last couple of weeks. A loss to Georgia, which again, we said at the beginning of the podcast, that seems to be common for most Bulldog opponents. However, followed that up immediately with a loss on the road at Mississippi State. What have you kind of thought about the Wildcats season so far? Just, again, really trending upwards for a good start. And then two tough losses right here before the Tennessee game.
Well, I think first to start on the line, it definitely seems like there's a lot of confidence in Tennessee from the public. I know Circus Sports opened the line at, I think, Kentucky -4. I think other sites were maybe around 3 or 3.5. But still, that's pretty good movement on the game. And I think this Kentucky season kind of, in a lot of ways, represents a lot of what Mark Stoops has done really well at Kentucky. He's elevated the program over to South Carolina's, over to Missouri's of the world, got wins over them. They took advantage of getting a bad LSU team at home this year. And then, kind of the struggles that they've had has been beating the big three, the Georgia, the Florida, the Tennessee. I think, obviously, they beat Florida this year. I believe that was their second win in 9 years since Stoops been there. They beat Tennessee twice, and I think Georgia once. So that's kind of where the flaws have been. And that Georgia win, that Florida win at the time, I think looked really good. Florida's tapered off since then. And even when you go look at that game, Kentucky has a block kick for a touchdown. I think they totaled only 75, 80 passing yards. Florida outgamed them by 125 yards. That was a game where Florida was kind of clearly the better team, but Kentucky just found a way to win and kind of a culture win. And that's what Mark Stoops has done really well, the culture. But is this Kentucky team, from a talent standpoint, a top 10 team like they were, a few weeks ago before the Georgia loss? I don't really think so. I think they're still pretty limited on what they can do offensively, though their passing attacks is better this year than it's been the past few years. Granted, 2 years ago, they were starting a receiver at quarterback. So it's kind of hard to say for sure, but it's a Kentucky team that, while they've done a really good job of winning a lot of games, they're far from overpowering. And I think that's kind of what the line represents.
Right. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. When you look at their overall record and you see the 6-2, you hear the stories about, hey, yes, they started the season 6-0. I think that kind of paints one specific picture in your mind. But really, when you look at the season, I don't know if it was necessarily the most confident. Granted, you had better wins towards the end of that run. But again, a 35-28 victory over Missouri in week 2. Then in week 3, a 28-23 victory over Chattanooga. Then in week 4, a 16-10 victory over South Carolina. Those are two SEC teams that Tennessee blew the doors off of. And then a Chattanooga team, which, again, you look at the way that Tennessee has been able to put points on people this season. I have no reason to believe that Tennessee would have not put points on Chattanooga as well. I really believe that, and we'll really put this theory to the test. I guess tomorrow night's going to be a great example, but I really believe that college football is going in a direction that's just so much more based on offensive ability. Some of these wins, they just don't impress me too much. I'll be honest, a 16-10 victory over South Carolina. Again, we know that the very next week they went on the road and they were at home and they took down Florida, then beat LSU by 20 points the next week. But again, some of those games I just look at and I can't help but be confident that Kentucky's got this massive offense that Tennessee needs to worry about, that they have this threatening defense that Tennessee needs to worry about. I really believe that the way that Tennessee has been playing their games this year, with a strong, balanced, aggressive offense, and then a defense that'll really go after the football and get to it, especially when it comes to behind the line of scrimmage. Again, I don't want to come off as sounding too much in Tennessee's favor, because I do think that Kentucky's a good football team, but I do think that some of those reasons allow Kentucky to be susceptible to a team like Tennessee, to a team with a really high-powered offense, to a team with a really aggressive defense, and to a team that can make this game move faster than Kentucky will want it to.
Definitely, and 1,000% agree with your point about college football moving to the offensive side. I mean, it's Just, I mean, look at what Alabama and Nick Saban have done. I mean, they used to bully teams and try to win every game 25-17 if they were playing a good opponent.
Yep.
Now, Nick Saban, when hire Lane Kiffin, I guess, back in 2014 and
14-ish, I mean,
yeah, college football has changed, and you better come into each game prepared to score 30 points if you want to win. Now, you might win sometimes not scoring 30 points, and that's where Kentucky, I think they're trying to move in that direction. They bring in a new offensive coordinator, Eli Cohn, this year, and they're going in that direction of wanting to pass the ball more. So, but at the same time, still, their offense is not built. They have the second worst passing attack in the SEC statistically. They're not built to score a ton of points. I will say, in their defense, I think those that Missouri and South Carolina score can be a little misleading. Kentucky turns the ball over twice in a Missouri game, including once going into the end zone. I think they were going in the end zone to take a 21-point lead with 2 minutes left in the half, and then Missouri went down to score to cut it to 7. And in the South Carolina game, they turned the ball over 3 times. South Carolina didn't turn it over once. So they kind of had bad turnover luck in both those 2 games. But as a whole, I'm with you. It's not an offense that I think presents a whole lot of challenges to Tennessee, kind of like what we were saying, or I was saying in the first segment about what Ole Miss and Alabama does. So I think it's an offense that Tennessee matches up well against. We've seen Tennessee's run defense be really solid this year, obviously second in the SEC in tackles for loss. And I think I made this point in the past, and it'll be really interesting to see. Tennessee has, with all those tackles for loss, they really haven't been able to capitalize as much as you'd like to because their third down defense has been so bad. Kenny Pickett, Bryce Young, Matt Corral, 3 of the best quarterbacks in the country. Those guys are in the rear view now. Tennessee won't have to face quarterback nearly as good as those guys unless they see one in the bowl game, which I would be surprised if they see someone in the bowl game as good as those 3 quarterbacks. You would think if Tennessee can get into those third and intermediate, third and longs, they should be able to have more success against a Kentucky passing attack that's not very good with a quarterback in Will Levis that can run some, but certainly isn't known for his feet.
Yeah, I'm certainly with you there. But that does bring up a good point. Let's kind of talk about this direction. Let's go with here's what Tennessee needs to do to win, and here's what a Kentucky win would entail. Do you have any kind of thoughts on either of those directions?
I think really for Tennessee, I think – and they kind of go hand in hand.
Sure.
I think the huge thing, I guess, for Kentucky, key to win, is stopping Tennessee's run game. If Tennessee can run the ball successfully on Kentucky, I would be pretty surprised if Tennessee doesn't win, just because I think Tennessee's going to be able to hit some of those chunk plays. They've been able to do that. And like we were just talking about, Kentucky doesn't really have an offense built to keep up in a game that gets into the 30s, into the upper 30s, into the lower 40s. And if Tennessee runs the ball, when Tennessee's run the ball successfully this year, they've been able to do that. They've been able to score a lot of points. And I think that's where Tennessee coming off the bye week is so huge. Jabari Small hasn't been 100%. Tyon Evans hasn't been 100%. Hendon Hooker, it was pretty clear against Alabama, Tennessee didn't want to run him. If they have all 3 of those guys healthy and comfortable running the ball, that's just a huge, huge plus for Tennessee's run game. And on the flip, I think for Tennessee, key for Tennessee to win, I think winning those third downs is going to be big. If they can be improved on third downs much better than they were in the Ole Miss and Alabama game, I mean, Alabama game, it's still absurd. They gave up 75% of third down conversions and a pretty high total. I think it was maybe 15 to 20, something in that range. I mean, almost unheard of numbers. So I think if Tennessee can win the third down battles, I think they're not going to give up a ton of points against this Kentucky offense because as a whole, it's not a huge big play offense. Now, Wandale Robinson, their star receiver, only receiver on their team that has more than 1 touchdown, has 5. He's not necessarily a big down the field threat, but he's a guy that can take a screen pass and go 50 yards with it. So I think bottling him up and not allowing the big plays for him also will be really big. And if Tennessee can do that, get off the field on third down, I think their defense is going to have a lot of success.
Yeah, man, I would certainly agree with you. I think when you look at this Tennessee team, for me, you know, you pretty much hit the nail on the head, man. But when you look at what Tennessee does best, it is a balanced offense. And again, this is no shocker. This is no surprise. And it's certainly no secret at this point in the season, but Tennessee's run sets up the pass in so many valuable ways. And I do believe that the ability to have Hendon Hooker back with a little bit of, you know, a little bit more fresh legs, to have Tyon Evans and Jabari Small, that kind of two-headed monster to be able to work with. I really think that if Tennessee, like you said, if they can get the running game open, that A allows them to control the pacing of the game, which is something that Tennessee very much will want to do on Saturday night, especially to quiet down the crowd a little bit. But man, at the same time, that is what's going to set up those big chunk plays in the passing game. And this really just what's going to open up the passing game in general. If Tennessee is really running the ball against the Wildcats well, they're going to have to move people down it to stop the run, because Tennessee has multiple guys who can take off and run with the ball. And then again, we know that Josh Heupel and Alex Golesh really have plays and formations set up in this system to be able to take advantage of things like that. I think that's a really key spot for Tennessee in this game. And I think that that is the biggest key to the game for them, you know, just getting that balanced offense, making sure the running game gets going. Because again, I think you look at what's happened in the past with Tennessee, even against inferior opponents like a South Carolina, like a Missouri, you saw the game plan that Tennessee had. And you could see in those games, hey, Tennessee does this same game plan against a better team, it's still going to work. Even, you know, it's crushing Kentucky and Eric's, not Kentucky, but it's crushing South Carolina and Missouri right now. But yeah, this game plan, it will work against other teams as well. And again, that's why you see Tennessee in, you know, hanging around with Alabama once the third quarter is over. That's why you see Tennessee be able to climb their way back into the game against Ole Miss, because these formations and this offense does work. We'll see if it works on Saturday night in Lexington.
Yeah, I think you're right. And kind of going off a similar point, Tennessee's been so good in the first quarters this year. They can continue that, you know, get two touchdowns in the first quarter. Obviously, there's been a couple games, I guess the South Carolina and the Missouri game, scored 28 in the first quarter. I don't expect that to happen. But they can jump out to a two-score lead in the first quarter and be really good like they have in that initial frame. I think that's huge, because Kentucky – is not a team built to play from behind. And I think we really saw that last week against Mississippi State when they got up early but then fell behind in the second quarter, and offense really floundered.
We'll be right back. And now back to the show.
All right, here we go, back on the RTI Preview Podcast, wrapping things up. Going to get into a little bit of bowl projections, I should say. That's probably the more correct term right there. But Ryan, just kind of closing out on the Kentucky thoughts. Any final thoughts on Saturday night's game? We are certainly going to be there. We will have great coverage on RockyTopInsider.com. So, you know, be sure to be on the lookout for that. But Ryan, any final closing thoughts on the game?
Not really. I think just kind of looking back to the Kentucky game 2 years ago, it's almost hard to draw anything from Kentucky game last year, just because the two pick sixes, four first half turnovers kind of ended the game and really almost ended the season for Tennessee. They were never able to bounce back from that. But you go back 2 years ago, and that was obviously a more heavy Kentucky run team. Had Lynn Bowden playing quarterback, or a receiver playing quarterback. But Kentucky's still predicated on that run game. Chris Rodriguez, probably one of the best running backs in the SEC, really good player. Can Tennessee win first downs? Can, kind of to my third down point, can they get Kentucky into more third and longs instead of third and shorts? Because if they can do that, I think they'll be in a place to be successful. But that Kentucky offense, they're good running the ball. That's probably, I would say, the whole team, that's probably their biggest strength as a team, is they have a good running attack. And on the defense side, they're certainly really solid, but it's been really balanced, I think, in all three phases.
Yeah, absolutely. Even one last thing I'm even noticing real quick before we get off this. Again, we know that every team is going to struggle against Georgia, especially in the run department. We know that Kentucky is also based on that aspect in the offense. But even against Mississippi State, they weren't really had a slow time getting the running game back going after that tough Georgia game. They had 20 rushing attempts for 66 yards against Mississippi State. Now, the Bulldogs didn't run it well either, so it was not necessarily a game on the ground. But hey, could be something fascinating to think about before going into that game. Kentucky, two back-to-back weeks with a tough time running the ball heading into this Tennessee game. But like we said earlier, Ryan, only two wins needed for Tennessee to get to bowl season, to be eligible for bowl season. How about we run through a couple of bowl projections? How about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so I got six for you. Okay. Six for you that we will react to, but some of them are easier to group together than others. You will certainly see why. Let's start with ESPN's from week 9. ESPN had two. First one, maybe being the most interesting of the whole bunch. Let's see. It looks like ESPN's Mark Schlabach has Tennessee to play UCF in the Birmingham Bowl. Hey, Josh Heupel's former team, now coached by Gus Malzahn, How much does that do it for you? You think that's a game that A, Tennessee would want to be in, B, you think that's a game that Tennessee can win?
I do think it's a game Tennessee could win. I would think they'd be favorites in that game. I don't know if it really does it for me. Not a huge matchup. If Legion Field was still standing, I think last year's Birmingham Bowl was the last ever game at Legion Field. Historic venue, a place that, where my parents saw an Alabama fan stab a Tennessee fan in the concourse in a 1997 game. It just means more. It just means more. But certainly an interesting matchup. Really more than anything, I'd be curious if they get inside Josh Heupel's head. I imagine he probably doesn't want to play his old team, doesn't want to face the guys he was with last year, and certainly the negatives of losing that game. And not that it's any bowl game. No bowl game really matters in going in next year. You know, I'm a big fan, big believer in that the bowl games do not matter going in next year. But from a perception standpoint, I don't think that would probably be a good look for Heupel or Tennessee.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's kind of got everything to lose there, right? Like, you know, this is Josh Heupel losing to his former team, whereas on the other hand, it is Gus Malzahn losing to one of the biggest upstart teams in the SEC, led by just so happened to be the guy who was here last year, who went on to a bigger program, right? So Tennessee has everything to lose in that matchup. I don't know if I love it either. How about the next one? Kyle Banagura has Tennessee in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which again seems to be a pretty familiar spot for Tennessee. This one against Miami.
RIP to Belk Bowl, first of all. The brand changed. The Duke's Mayo Twitter account doesn't seem to have been hasn't seemed to have been as active as the old Belk Bowl account did. But yeah, that would be a pretty compelling matchup. One that, again, I would kind of be surprised. I mean, I think Tennessee would be touchdown favorites in that game. Miami's been pretty bad this year. De'Aaron King out for the year, Miami's quarterback. And Manny Diaz, a guy who's kind of on the hot seat. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But that's a game where I would think, and this is always the case in these bowl games, you kind of have to think about it. And Tennessee, I think, will be motivated no matter what bowl game. That's a game where I would think Tennessee's players would be a lot more motivated to play than Miami's.
Yeah, I think so too. And I really just like the marquee matchups, right? I know that a lot of the times you might not get the best matchup there. But hey, you know, when you're dealing with kind of 6-6 teams right there on the fringe, I do really like the idea of getting two huge names, two huge programs, historic programs, a lot going on with both of them. So I do like that one. How about this next one, which I maybe find the most unrealistic out of these options, but one report from Bleach Report, which I know is not, you know, necessarily, but they have Tennessee in the Texas Bowl against Kansas State. Now, I love that one. You know, that's where I'm from. That's where I grew up. So I would love that one. But what do you think about that? Do you think that's a realistic possibility? Also, the furthest date out of all of these ones we'll mention, this is the only one that's actually after New Year's, all the way back on January 4th.
Wow, that's interesting how late that is. I really didn't know. I think it's possible in the sense that just the Texas Bowl is kind of in that level of bowl that Tennessee could be going to. Duke's Mayo, Birmingham, Music City, Liberty, Texas. I think those are kind of what Tennessee is looking at. Maybe there might be another one in there in the projections. I'm not sure. But I would be surprised because I think Tennessee, the way their fans travel, I think it's not like a Florida bowl game where, you know, you'll have a lot of fans make the long trek. I don't think you'll see that as much in Texas. And I think with as many people as Tennessee brings, I think a lot of those other bowl games that are closer will be really trying to get the balls.
Well, here is what you're talking about right here. I will group these last three together because ultimately you can have one opinion on the site, but you might need a few different for the opponents. CBS Sports, Sporting News, and Yahoo Sports all have Tennessee booked for Nashville. All have Tennessee booked in the Music City Bowl. Here's how it breaks down. CBS Sports has Tennessee taking on. Actually, before I get there, just want to hear your opinion on the Music City Bowl. Here's my thing with it first. I don't love it. You know, I think that, A, yes, it's great to keep Tennessee inside of the Volunteer State. You know that Tennessee is going to pack that game, pack that stadium. You know, it's an easy drive from Knoxville. It gives the opportunity for Tennessee fans living within the state of Tennessee, no matter where they are. Oh, almost knocked down my water there. It gives Tennessee fans a chance, no matter where they are in the middle of the state, to come to the middle of it, you know, a central point, Nashville, get to see the team. But I think that you're also, like you just said, you know that Tennessee fans are willing to travel out of state lines, go to a Florida, go to a North Carolina, potentially go to something else like that. So I don't know if the Music City has always, it's always done it for me, but just because, again, I think that with Tennessee, and especially in Knoxville, we are thinking about Nashville often. You know, we see the Titans. It's just, it's not necessarily a destination, I don't think, for Tennessee. What's your take on it?
Well, I like it for clearly biased reasons. I mean, it's that week in between Christmas and New Year's, and I will be in Nashville where I'm from. So that's, for purely biased reasons, that's legitimately what I'm rooting for. But as a whole, and this is more of a overview of bowl games, and it's kind of changed. I don't know how many people know this, but when they went to the College Football Playoff, before that, it was like there was a pecking order. Bowl games, pecking order, and the bowls got to choose who they want. Right. That pecking order is not a thing anymore. The bowls work with the SEC to find who's the best matchup. And because of that, the Music City Bowl has kind of been elevated as a bowl game a little bit. Before, it was very low on the totem pole, and I was kind of – like when Tennessee was there to play North Carolina, Derek Dooley's first year, not a very big matchup to get you excited. But kind of like I was saying a minute ago, Texas Bowl, Liberty Bowl, Birmingham Bowl, Duke's Mayo Bowl, Music City Bowl, and I really think even the Gator Bowl is also kind of Tax Slayer Bowl, excuse me, no disrespect to Tax Slayer. I think that one's even kind of viewed in the same sense. Though I will say, anytime you go to Florida for a bowl game in January, I do think that's a little bit different, a little bit more elevated. But just as a whole, outside of my bias of, you know, where I'm going to be traveling, to me, it's so much more just about who you play, about the matchup, and how intriguing the matchups can be. That's really what I look at more for the bowl games, unless you're going to a Capital One, an Outback, or certainly a New Year's Six Bowl. New Year's Six Bowl, completely different. You go into Sugar Bowl or Peach Bowl, that's big time, and you certainly want to get over that hump to get there. But when it gets to the kind of those lower-level bowls, I don't have huge preferences in what's better and what's not.
So there you go, a little bit of a recap roundup of Tennessee's bowl projections heading into Week 10. A little recap right here. Birmingham Bowl, Duke's Mayo Bowl, Texas Bowl, Music City Bowl. Now I have to talk about the teams real quick. I forgot to have the teams in.
Two of the three teams they have in there.
Golly, my bad. Here we go. CBS Sports is Tennessee taking on Minnesota. Now that's a team that's 6-2 already this year. They've, again, kind of like Kentucky, certainly built up some of those wins throughout the season so far.
Yeah, rode a boat. I believe they also lost to Bowling Green, which is kind of funny that they're 6-2 and have a loss to not a very good Bowling Green team. But
wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay, the next one. Sporting News has Tennessee against Iowa. Again, another 6-2 team.
That's, to me, much harder matchup. I mean, granted, I think Tennessee matches up pretty well. Iowa's kind of similar in a lot of things they do to Kentucky. But team was, what, number two, number three in the country just like 3 weeks ago?
Yes, that is exactly right.
That was a very fraudulent top five. I don't think anyone actually believed they were a top five team when they climbed that high. That's just how it worked out.
Was that immediately after Alabama lost to A&M as well? So you were like, all right, the Alabama has to be ranked at six right now, but we all know that they're not six, so we have a weird top five, one of those kind of things.
Yes, it was the same. I think they were four, and then there was a day that Alabama lost to A&M. They beat Penn State and Iowa City, but at the same time, Penn State's quarterback Sean Clifford got hurt in that game, and Penn State was controlling that game for most of the game, and then when quarter Clifford got hurt. They didn't have Will Levis, Kentucky's quarterback, who was their backup last year. That's kind of a side tangent, but so many of these teams don't have really capable backups anymore because they all transfer. You know, it's kind of interesting. But yeah.
Hey, and in a way, again, Tennessee still has Joe Milton, but in a way, Tennessee's now in that same boat as well, right?
100%.
Joe Milton, who has looked honestly sporadic at best throughout this season so far. You know, something comes up with him, something comes up with Hooker, and you're looking at Tennessee's walk-ons competing for that third spot right now. So Tennessee in that same boat of teams without a real good backup situation. Last but not least, Yahoo Sports has Tennessee against Wisconsin.
That's a Big Ten West, heavy on the Big Ten West in these Music City Bowl projections. I think that's almost – that one in Iowa intrigued me a little bit. I would just be interested to see how Tennessee could hold up with the physicality of both those teams. Obviously, they both pride themselves on running it, and then running it some more, and maybe punting it well, but running it. So, I think those would be interesting matchups for Tennessee. You just go back and kind of look at the Butch Jones era. Tennessee always seems to have success against those Big Ten teams in bowl games. I think three straight years they beat Iowa, Northwestern, Nebraska. Now that I'm thinking about, like, all these bowl games Tennessee's made as of late, they always play Big Ten teams because they played Indiana in the Tax Slater Bowl there a few years ago. I think it'd be a good matchup for Tennessee, but certainly I think Iowa especially would be a challenge. Wisconsin probably would too, but those would be interesting tests.
All right, so your preferred would be the Music City Bowl against?
Of those three teams, I'd say Iowa. And I will put a Music City Bowl with my preferred, but any matchup where Tennessee plays Clemson would trump it and come to the top. I don't care where it is. That's the matchup I want to see for Tennessee. I want to see Tennessee against Clemson, which it seems like would probably be Duke's Mayo Bowl if it happens.
Yeah.
But that's the matchup that I want.
It looks like Tennessee is going to likely play before the 2022 year hits. But, hey, that's a long way away. Right now, the first thing on the menu for Tennessee is going to be Kentucky on Saturday night in Lexington. Ryan, we might as well get the heck out of here. I have no idea how long we've been going for today, but I feel like we got a lot of good information out. I feel like we got a lot of good thoughts. Talked a little bit about the investigation, the bowl season, and, of course, Tennessee's game against Kentucky coming up on Saturday night. Looking at that game real quick. Let me see. Coming up on Saturday night, 7 o'clock p.m. ESPN2. Ryan, how are you feeling about this game? Final thought.
Yeah, I think it's a matchup that's good for Tennessee, and you guys will see in our projections. Game predictions will come out here a little bit later today. I picked Tennessee to win. I think it's the game Tennessee's going to get done, and I guess I'll leave you with a quote from great football philosopher Lane Kiffin. That's why we're Tennessee, and that's why they're Kentucky. So I'll leave it with that.
Be sure to follow Rocky Top Insider all weekend long. We're going to be bringing you a lot of great basketball, football, and just Tennessee coverage in general. Rocky Top Insider on Twitter, at Rocky Top Insider on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube as well. Make sure to go find all those different places where you can find the RTI content. Again, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, the internet, the World Wide Web, whatever you want to call it, it is there. Ryan, let the people know where they can find you.
Yeah, find me on Twitter at rshump00. That's rschump00.
There you go. And my name is Rick Butler. You can find me on Twitter at Rick_Butler. That is just R-I-C with no K. Ryan, we are getting out of here. We will see you in Lexington. We will be ready for this game. Again, be sure to be locked into RTI the whole time. Otherwise, have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Cheers.